The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you along with Ray Allen. We're ready to do the Thursday edition of the program. Together, Ray and I welcome you to the program. And we are on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We've got our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, which gets the feed from kvoi.com, where there's 24/7 streaming. You know, this streaming is where it's at right now, all over radio. You don't need to be like in the old days, right in front of the radio or out in the car. I mean, wherever you have a computer, Richard Elias, who is with me in studio, basically you can listen to anything anywhere.
I am so happy to have access to more music I've ever had in my life.
I know you love 60s rock and roll.
Right. And my media streaming company is just great. And I am a happy person about it. It's very interesting.
Richard Elias will be our lead guest here. But first, I want to tell our listeners that the live line is open, 790-2040. Richard Elias is the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. And whether you agree with him or not, he wants to hear from you. He'll take your calls and he will give you an honest answer. If there's something on your mind you don't agree with, that's fine. Let's hear from you and let's get it out in the open. And let's begin, Supervisor Elias. First of all, welcome back to the program, sir.
Thank you. And it's great to be back. It's been a little bit since I've been on, but spring is here. It's a little windy out there today, Bill.
Yeah, and you know I hate the wind. I hate that. I hate that dusty wind. And judging by Facebook, I think I have plenty of company. People are complaining about the allergies.
Absolutely.
And everything else. So it's a mess. We can begin with, well, why don't we begin with what there was firm action on is that Canoa Hills Golf Course. That's going to happen.
Absolutely. And it's a great move for people down there in the Santa Cruz Valley and Green Valley and Sahuarita and Arivaca. And, you know, it's a good move that golf course has become a problem over the last 4 or 5 years. It's laid dormant. I think it's a really smart way to get a natural resource park available to a population that loves to walk, that needs to walk, that we can make into accessible walkways for all different kinds of mobile-abled people. Just a good deal for everybody, I think, and will certainly help the folks whose homes are already there in the area.
So many retired people down there, really, quite honestly, they are looking for things to do, and walking is wonderful exercise. There just aren't a lot of parks in Green Valley.
No, there's not. And there had been an overabundance of golf courses. And while golf is a fun thing to do, I used to golf. I don't any longer.
Did you really?
I used to golf, but I don't anymore because it's
really
so hard
falling
on my
out
back.
Of favor, too, though, golf.
Well,
I mean, you had
the
course of the longtime course, I think, since post-World War II over at Davis-Monthan. And
right.
They just decided that's it. And I don't know if they're going to turn it into a park or what, but they're pulling the plug on golf.
Absolutely. Water costs are tremendous, and there's just a lack of interest in it that used to be there before. So,
but you enjoyed the game at one time?
I enjoyed being with my friends, I think, more than anything else. And then it's hard on your back. So that was the one that made it harder for me. And plus, it's a huge expensive time. But I think finding alternative uses for golf courses that have shut down is the smart thing to do. And they can be very cost-efficient ways to create, like I said, natural resource parks for
all
of us.
So this is a 130-acre footprint. What kind of condition is it in, and what's it going to take to get it up to park standard?
Well, most of the concrete pathways, cart paths, are in pretty good shape. Some of the asphalt pathways we are going to have to work on and dig up. Another big concern is restrooms And so constructing a couple public restrooms, and I know the folks in Green Valley are working on trying to get some private donations to help with that, because that's a crucial issue, and we want people to feel comfortable and other folks to recognize that it's not just a free-for-all out there and you can do whatever you want, because that's not what we envision.
And that could be up and running how soon, the course, the park?
I think it'll probably take us a year to get it
about a
really
year
going.
To get it to get it up to standard. 4-1 was the vote on that. Allie Miller voting no, Supervisor Miller on that, worried about I believe the expenditure of this.
Well, there's been some controversy up there in District 1 surrounding Oro Valley and some golf courses that they took over. This is a very different kind of deal. It's much more of a rural area. And the foothills there in the area are really beautiful, but not quite as steep, not quite as tough a terrain as they are over in Oro Valley. But quite honestly, I always thought that was a good deal as well, because they lack parks there, and that's a nice amenity for them to have. The business of doing parks and recreation costs money. It's not something that you reap in some kind of great return from user fees or something, but it's one of the core functions of government, and it just needs to be there for folks in so many ways.
Where are we on the roads discussion? I think everyone agrees that, yes, many of our roads in Pima County are in bad shape.
They are, and we are currently putting together as of Tuesday, we gave instructions to staff on how we want to have the ordinance structured behind the sales tax question. So what you have there then is some policy direction that we offered that'll structure how we will consider the question of the sales tax later on, probably in the beginning of June, late May.
This is a proposed half-cent Pima County sales tax for road repair, and there would be a number of plan elements that would be prone to compromise and disagreement. For instance, the proceeds. How should the proceeds be used? Should they be used for property tax reductions? How big a role should the RTA play? What measures should be taken to support low-income residents? That's something that you feel very strongly about.
Absolutely. Actually, all three of those things. But in particular, this is a huge transfer in debt from property owners onto the general population. Sales taxes are notorious for being regressive in nature. And quite honestly, we live in a community where we have 20% of our homes below the federal poverty line. That means children go to sleep hungry. And so while repairing roads is an absolute critical thing that we need to do, and I recognize that along with the rest of the public, that's a short-term problem that we can fix. The long-term problems of endemic poverty and how it affects us are really damaging. And frankly, we're losing support from the feds. We're losing support from the state. So we're on our own. And we better recognize that, and we better invest in a safety net that provides a true quality of life for an improvement in quality of life for people who are at the lower end of the economic spectrum.
And you have some districts like District 1. Most of the people living in District 1 are pretty well off generally. So roads seem to be their major concern, and not going to sleep hungry at night.
Right. So there's some very different narratives there. And I'm sorry, while roads are absolutely critical and need to be attended to, you're asking the District 5 supervisor that, and I'll tell you, well, come with me and I'll take you to some places that'll make you blink. And I think that we need to recognize that that exists. It's important. And there's an efficiency in taxation that needs to be recognized as well. And that means everybody needs to get some return on their investment here. And so to me, it's critical that we add this in to a part of the sales tax question. No sales tax dollars will be used in the program changes that we've talked about related to putting some more money into programs that help low-income people. It will come out of property taxes, but the two are linked together in the ordinance so that everybody understands that this is an effort for both those issues that are critical to us. But the sales tax money will go for roads. And that's about estimated to be about $68 million the first year.
And where what we should, again, point out, this would require a unanimous vote. And Pima County Supervisor Allie Miller has indicated she would not vote for it. So it's dead on arrival, I guess.
It does sound that way at this point. But this is not an exercise in gamesmanship for me. This is about making a tough decision and working hard at it and making sure that we do the best we can. In this circumstance, we have some bills in front of the legislature that could change all that. But, you know, the Israelites walked around in the desert for 40 years waiting for manna from heaven, and it came. Mm-hmm. So we have to be serious. We have to come up with good policy objectives and alternatives and hope that it passes and work to create some kind of compromise so that it can work.
Do you like bakery goods?
Yes, Bill. You know, I never met an empanada I didn't like.
Well, let me tell you about our newest partner, Supervisor Elias, and we've got some great partners on the show. And you know that I will not accept advertising from an organization that I do not personally support.
Support. Right.
And the newest on board is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle up at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Steve and Sherry get up very early in the morning to do the baking for all the bread. That's, if you're out and about right now, why not a sandwich from Mona's?
Right.
Oh, sounds very good, doesn't it?
I'm going to call you out on that one of these days in the morning. You're going to get you on your phone.
Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to all of our partners, including Mona's Danish Bakery. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PieCorp is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PieCorp offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PieCorp.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PieCorp.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday during the noon hour, Vail School Superintendent Calvin Baker will join us. Our Friday roundtable features Dan Shear, the editor of the Green Valley News, and Jim Ninsel, editor of the Tucson Weekly. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch. Buckmaster, AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice, always on BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 12:21 on this Thursday afternoon. We're really trying to stay on top of what's going on with the situation with the teachers. We're going to talk with David Safir, who's the education blogger for the Tucson Weekly. That's coming up in 10 minutes. We had Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, head of TUSD, on the program. Spent a half hour talking about it. We talk about it tomorrow at noon with Calvin Baker, the Vail School Superintendent. And by then, we'll know whether the teachers, I think we're going to know late this afternoon whether or not the teachers have decided that they are going to walk out. So we're trying to stay on top of that. We're also trying to stay on top of what's going on with Pima County, and we have Pima County Supervisors Chair Richard Elias with us. And I think we have Ingrid would like to speak with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias, wants to talk about poor people. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Yes, it seems, Mr. Elias, it seems to be a very serious concern of yours. Have you thought of any other ways that money could that would otherwise be going out of their pockets because of something like a tax like this could be put back into their pockets? And also, I'd like to remind you of something that happened a few years ago. $6,000 was approved to be taken out of the budget for a dinner to honor those people who took classes, leadership classes, for self-improvement, and then the county taxpayer had to pay for the $6,000 worth of dinners. The prosecuting attorney wrote a letter to me, too, saying that this is very acceptable.
Whose office was that?
The prosecuting attorney's office.
Oh, you're talking about Barbara Wall's office. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that might have been those RICO dollars.
Yeah, that might have been the RICO dollars. And I believe, Supervisor Elias, that is changing how Barbara Wall,
Barbara had been in charge of those funds for a long time since we started getting them. And that has changed by law of the state legislature. Mm-hmm. They passed a revised statute last year that now put the Board of Supervisors in charge of that money. So there have been significant changes as to how we do that funding. I would tell you that there are not many sources available to us to really work on these kind of issues. And so as we see revenue shrinking, like I was saying, from other governments, CDBG has been a fund that we've used to assist low-income people for years. We're now at the same level we were at during the 1992 election. So that's when Bill Clinton first got elected, a long time ago. Here in the state of Arizona, if you are in need of temporary assistance to needy families, you get a total of 1 year lifetime.
Hmm.
And so there's been a huge erosion of that safety net. We need to find a way to replace some of that and make sure that we have food safety as a primary part of all of that, as well as some housing assistance, as well as public health issues, so that we can try and make sure that at least our children have a little better of life for those 20% of households that live so far below the poverty line. There just aren't that many funding choices to do it. Right now, we're looking at doing it from the general fund, and I think that's a reasonable source to do it from, but it would be tied to the sales tax. And this particular question, I think it'll be something that comes up also as a part of the budget discussions.
So when you hear politicians say roads, roads, roads is the most important issue, you want to step back a little bit from that.
I don't believe that roads are the most serious problem we have. They are a critical problem we have. We must address it. I'm not going to fool around with that. We must address it. But if we think that's the most serious problem we face, then we really need to rethink what our values are, because I'll tell you, we have such a tough time with some of the families here in Pima County, both in the rural areas as well as the urban areas. And we better recognize that we all share this place. And the best way to improve our own lives is to make sure that everybody's lives is a little better off. It improves society. It makes us all better. It's something that John Kennedy reminded us of back in 1960 when he made his inaugural address. And it was about lifting all of us up, lifts all of us up. And we need to recognize that as Americans.
How about county employees? Are they going to be lifted up with any kind of a raise in the budget this year?
Well, we're looking at a 2.5% across the board raise for employees. And so it's probably time to do that. It's been 3 years since they've had anything that'll go across the board to all county employees. We're still looking at what we might do to improve the situation for employees that are making just barely over minimum wage. And so that's a difficult issue for us as well.
The overall budget, have you started to look at that package yet?
Well, you know, you're going to see property taxes reduced by that 25 cents for the road repair money that we probably had in it, unless the sales tax deal goes down completely, which it likely will. But that 25 cents is on the table. And then we're probably looking at another 15 cents in reduction in property taxes for the general fund, because ultimately we've experienced some growth. And so we need to account for that in services, but we also want to give a break to our property taxpayers.
It's been 10 years. I think that's the date that the whole proposed Rosemont mine came up. I believe it was around 2007, 2008. Where are we in this process?
Well, you know, it's still pretty much stalled with the EPA and the Corps of Engineers having a big disagreement. And now we have a lawsuit that just got filed last week by the Tohono O'odham Nation.
There's four environmental groups that joined together in a suit against suing the Forest Service.
Right. And so this is another one that has a whole different angle on
it. The tribes?
Yeah, absolutely. The tribes are looking at their own antiquities and their own burials that are up there. So this is all going to add more time into the equation, and it's going to make it more difficult to make this decision. I did speak with the new forest supervisor for the Coronado
National Forest, Kerwin Dewberry.
And he's a great guy. He's a very nice man. I enjoyed our meeting. He understands the process that he needs to go through. He's in a difficult spot. He knows that already. But I got a sense from him that he's very quickly developed an understanding of the proposal, the past proposals, and frankly, the cultural and environmental issues that surround Rosemont are just difficult. There's no way to offer mitigation in the Sanyega watershed. That's a very difficult issue to overcome. You're pouring tons of rock on ancient artifacts from the Tohono O'odham Nation. There's no way to get around that.
The tribes say this is terribly disrespectful.
It
the whole thing.
It frankly is. And that's why the Antiquities Act has been on the books for more than 100 years. And we just celebrated it. Its 100th anniversary this year. So absolutely critical. But I got a good sense from Kerwin that he's a decent man and working very hard within the system.
And he's going to try to be fair about the whole thing.
I think so. Hmm.
Okay, but certainly lots of lawsuits, and this could tie this whole thing up for many, many years to come. But you also get the feeling that Toronto-based Hudbay Minerals Incorporated, which is a huge international company, is in this for the long haul.
Absolutely. They make no bones about that.
Yeah, they're not
very honest about that.
Not going to fold
up. They're not going away.
No, they are not going away. All right, Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias, Chair of the Board, thank you very much for giving us part of your lunch hour. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure to be here, Bill.
Thank you very much. 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, and in our effort to continue on what's going on with education and this really evolving story here about a possible teacher strike, David Safir talks with us next.
Join the Tucson Cactus and Succulent Society on Saturday the 28th and Sunday the 29th at Hotel Tucson City Center at 475 North Granada. Enjoy the plant show and check out the plants, pottery, books, and art for sale from dozens of vendors, as well as locally rescued saguaro, beryl, mamayadia, and hedgehog cactus and ocotillos. For information about workshops on container gardening, landscaping tips, cooking with cactus, and other unique topics, go to tucsoncactus.org. That's tucsoncactus.org.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico always makes a great weekend getaway. And by Thursday, I don't know about you, but a lot of us are focusing on what are you going to do this weekend? How about 3-hour road trip over to Silver City? And I think you will enjoy it. I know you will. Hiking, camping, exploring historic Silver City, one of my favorite places, the historic Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, one of America's first national monuments, actually declared so, I believe, by President Teddy Roosevelt. So a lot of history up there. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of great places to stay and recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. In our continuing effort to try to be all over this possible teacher strike, we bring in David Safir. David, the education writer, education blogger at the section called The Range, which is a range of topics from A to Z at TucsonWeekly.com. David, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks.
So much to talk about. We did have Gabriel Trujillo, TUSD superintendent, on the program yesterday, and he's saying, I think he said there were 89 schools in his portfolio that he is responsible for. And if the teachers decide, if the vote says, let's walk out, he says it will be pretty much a case-by-case basis on which schools will be open and which will be closed. But he did emphasize, David, that essential services will be maintained.
I was very impressed when he said that. He, like many superintendents, is supporting the teachers. Some of the superintendents say they don't support the strike, but that's not the same thing as saying they are going to go work against a strike. But he's being very proactive mm-hmm. here. He says, I know there are families that need the services of the schools. They need the kids there. So let's make sure we can accommodate the kids and not punish the teachers and work with this, because everybody in education in Arizona knows that the teachers deserve a raise.
Well, and there's, and again, Dr. Trujillo does support teachers. He's not really on board with a strike, but we will hear tomorrow from Calvin Baker at Vail what his opinion is on all of this. And by then, we'll probably know, David, whether or not teachers are going to walk out. And there's
want to throw in that, in a rare moment of unanimity, the TUSD school board all said they support Red for Ed. They didn't mm-hmm. say they supported a strike, but all of them, if you looked at them up on the dais a week ago Tuesday, were all wearing red, and it was unanimous. And I thought that was rather wonderful that these people who can be the they're constantly battling
yes,
over things.
Yes, they are.
In this case, they came together behind the teachers, and that was just excellent.
Before we each of us weigh in on what we think the public reaction would be to a strike, why don't you give us a little background? How did we get to this point in the United States where suddenly teachers and their concerns have been pushed from the back burner to the front burner?
Well, I think that's exactly the way to put it. People knew that there were these concerns, and they'd occasionally get in the paper and magazines, and people would say, oh, this is terrible, and everybody would agree, or many people would agree, oh, this is terrible, and then move on with their business. But it was as recently as late February. That's how recent this is, that the West Virginia teachers said, we're going on strike, and we need a 5% raise. And it just blew everybody away. People saw this and thought maybe it was a one-off, but the West Virginia teachers really showed the kind of a backbone that we're seeing here in Arizona as well. The governor promised their union, who was behind the strike and working with the strike, promised them a 5% raise. And the union said, okay, teachers, go back to school. And the teacher said, no, that's only a promise. We haven't seen it on paper. Sure enough, the Senate, the state Senate, said, we're only going to give you 4%. And the teacher stayed out until they got 5%, which is a terrific object lesson. Promises, promises, promises. You got to see it in law. They got what they wanted. And the teachers, in a sense, stood up to their own union and said, we need to go further. Unions in this country are kind of beleaguered and they kind of are back on their heels. And in this case, the teacher said, we want more. Move over to Oklahoma. This is amazing. Oklahoma is a state that hasn't passed a tax increase in a quarter century. And they passed a $447 million tax increase, which was tax hikes on cigarettes, fuel, lodging, and oil and gas production, which is a big deal. And they did it by a two-thirds majority. Now, a Republican majority state that doesn't pass taxes that all of a sudden gets a two-thirds majority in their legislature, that's really something.
And I will interject here by saying I believe that Oklahoma is the reddest of all states in the United States, where it's so conservative, so Republican.
We have so many Democratic lawmakers
in Oklahoma.
Arizona is one of the many no new taxes states, and Oklahoma is like that. And to know that Oklahoma, the legislators said yes by a two-thirds majority, which is what we need in Arizona, that's jaw-dropping. Well, there the teachers went on strike. The Oklahoma legislature actually offered them $6,000 raise, which is great, and another $1,250 for the support staff. And they wanted $10,000, but what they did eventually is they backed down, but they didn't back down out of weakness. They said, okay, we know we can't get it out of this legislature. We're going to the polls in November to get ourselves a legislature that will give us what we need. And again, this was a sign of teachers showing strength. The reason, Bill, that this is all over the news is because people see these teachers and say, man, that's something. They're surprised. They're shocked. What are they doing all this protesting? Teachers don't do that. They sit back. And as soon as that shock came, first you see the pictures, and then you see the newscaster saying, well, what are they talking about? And all of a sudden, the issue of salaries come up. And this is something that we need to learn, that you have to make an impact, and sometimes you have to make an impact by doing something shocking or even something that people will say, you can't do that. And then it works. Then it happens.
Let's take a quick call. Dave called from Marana. Hello, Dave.
Yes. Unfortunately, I live in the Marana School District, and every other year they're going to the taxpayers for more money. And they're building so many houses in Marana, it's flooding the schools with so much enrollment. They're having to spend money on more classrooms and more schools. Yet the school districts are unallowed, they aren't allowed to charge a mandatory impact fee. Now, I know developers pay a voluntary impact fee, but it's way below what is needed because schools keep coming to the taxpayers every other year for more money, and now it's every year. And if they change the law to allow the schools to charge a mandatory impact fee, they'd have enough money to pay the teachers, because right now, they have to spend so much money on more schools and classrooms, they don't have the money to pay teachers.
You know, Dave, I agree with you. Let me explain that an impact fee is when a new house is built, there are certain services that the city and the county have to bring up to the house. And if the realtor pays for that and then is put into the house cost, it doesn't cost the city any or the county any. If the city or county say, we'll do it gratis, then that's money that comes out of their fund. Otherwise, could go for schools. And I agree that the realtors and the homeowners should pay for the services that are brought to them. It shouldn't be paid, you know, as a gift from the city. So Dave is exactly right. I don't think that's enough, but that's a really important point.
12:43, we're going to take our break a minute or two early, because when I come back, Ray, I want to talk with David about what he believes will be the impact. How will the public react if teachers decide to walk out? I've got some feelings on this, and I think David does as well, on the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon.
Experience one of the most powerful stories of the 20th century, The Diary of Anne Frank, live on stage at the Temple of Music and Art. Don't miss this true story of a young girl and her family's struggle for survival against the inhumanity of the Nazi regime. A story of faith, hope, and belief in the goodness of humanity. A haunting adaptation of the original Pulitzer Prize award-winning play based on Anne Frank's diary. Arizona Theater Company's The Diary of Anne Frank, April 21st through May 12th. Tickets are at arizonatheater.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. A good weekend to do some gardening. Yes, the wind is going to kick up today, but then I think we've got pretty much clear sailing. Thank you, Ray, for putting up our weather forecast. In fact, Saturday and Sunday look just really nice. Pretty typical kind of temperatures, upper 80s, around 90 degrees. Not too bad. Great to do some gardening.
for all of your gardening needs, all the plants you'll need, all the supplies. One-stop shopping on the 13 acres on Green Things, 3384 East River Road. It's a really pretty location by the Rito River Walk. They're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's kind of a gardening destination, if you will. And go to the website as a starting place. Find out what is available and all the extra information you need at greenthingsaz.com. David Safir is here. David, the education blogger, education writer at The Range. That's the name of the column or the section at TucsonWeekly.com. And continuing with our discussion about the teachers in Arizona and perhaps a strike right around the corner. David, that was big news today, that the Arizona PTA, in effect, reversed their position. Initially, a couple of days ago, actually, the PTA was backing Governor Ducey's teacher raise plan, saying, okay, we'll take you at face value, but now they looked into it a little bit, and they say they believe it's just not financially sustainable.
And that was the right thing to do. You know, I put myself in their position. Ducey pulls a bunch of people into the room who know that there's never going to be any raises to speak of and says, listen, man, I'm going to give you 20% raise, 10% now and 5% mm-hmm. the next few years.
The 20%.
Right.
My jaw
would have dropped open, and I probably would have been happy to stand behind him at a press conference and say, I really support this, because it just was earth-shattering. And it really was, because the teachers asked for so much, and Ducey actually said, and this was big, no matter what happens, he said, yeah, you're right. And by saying, yeah, you're right, you can't go back and say the teachers don't need that much raise.
Well, my initial reaction when I saw 20% from the teachers asking 20%, I'm saying no way that's going to happen.
I didn't think so. And that's part of what I was saying the last segment, that you've got to be a little bit outrageous. They weren't wrong, but it was outrageous to ask for that much. If they talked to me, I would have said, oh, come on, make it 10 yeah. and expect to get 8. And instead they made it 20, and Ducey gave that whole thing. So you've got to dare to be, you know, there's that phrase, dare to be great. You've got to dare to be outrageous to both get the press and to push somebody. They had the hand, obviously. They had the hot hand, and they still do.
Well, they have momentum, and here's the deal, though. I think that if you walk and you do have support and a lot of goodwill that's been built up with the Red for Ed movement, but now if you decide to walk, there's going to be erosion. There's no question how much public support erosion. I don't know, but I would think, my bet would be, there would be considerable erosion of that support.
Well, there are a number of things that were dangerous. It was dangerous for a group of people to get on Facebook and go around the union and say, let's get together as teachers. It was dangerous for everybody to put on those wild red T-shirts and walk around and go up to the Capitol. And it was dangerous to do the walk-ins and all of this. It was dangerous, ridiculous, to ask for 20% because everybody's going to think these teachers are crazy. And now it's dangerous to go out on a strike.
5 weeks before the end of the school
five
year.
5 weeks before the school year.
Graduation right around the corner.
And my feeling is if people like you mm-hmm. and me, good, calm, solid heads, say teachers don't go for 20, and they did go for 20, and they won, my feeling is I'm going to stand back from my former colleagues. I was teaching up till about 12 or 13 years ago. I didn't want people to tell me what to do when I was a teacher in terms of that kind of stuff. I'm going to trust these folks to make a decision, and if it turns out to be the right decision, terrific. If it turns out not to be the right decision, at least it was their decision, and nobody knows. The union told West Virginia teachers, go back to your schools. The teachers said no, and they got their full 5%. That by itself is a story. And this is really important.
So if they say we're going to strike, they're going to say basically we don't believe the governor in his promise that they will get 20% within 3 years?
Well, Bill, I'm not sure that anybody honestly should believe the governor.
Where will the money come from? That, of course, is the big question.
Well, by the way, before we go on to that, you this morning emailed me an article by a conservative columnist from The Republic by the name of Robert Robb.
Right.
And he who would support the governor on most things, these are both from the same political end of the spectrum, said, you're not going to be able to come up with that money. And he argued how the money just can't happen. I don't see how it can. Ducey is trying to rob from every possible section, sweep up money is the way the term is usually used, and add that to what he believes is going to be, it's kind of a prosperity gospel where he believes the state is going to grow by leaps and bounds, and he's counting on all that money. And first of all, I don't think that all that money is there that he expects. And second of all, does he really think that every legislator is going to go along with all these cuts, including cuts to their pet projects? I mean, he wants to take $8 million from the university. He wants to cut raises that are desperately needed for people who give services to people with disabilities. He wants to cut $3 million for a skilled nursing program. He wants to cut $2 million from a fund to help private hospitals pay for emergency room visits, and so on and so on.
So what's the blowback going to be from each of those groups that are suddenly not going to have their money?
So what's going to happen is Ducey, I think, is going to look like a huckster who says, I can give you 20%, no problem. I can give you 9% this year, no problem. And later he'll say, geez, how about 6%? Well, I couldn't quite get to 6%. How about 5? In other words, there's absolutely no guarantees in this, which is why I would say to teachers, strike or no strike, keep up the pressure and let them know we're not going away. We're not going to have our demands shoved to the side and kind of get patted on the back and get 2 or 3%. Remember that Doug Ducey said that he wanted to give the teachers a 2% raise over 5 years. Miraculously, he's come up with over 3 years, 20%. Well, either he was lying before about there not being enough money, or he's lying now about there being all this money to find, because he's not bringing in another penny in taxes.
And here is the lead sentence in, which is really an excellent column by Rob of the Arizona Republic, who is a very conservative columnist. Mm-hmm. And he writes, Governor Doug Ducey's teacher pay proposal is imprudent, if not reckless, budgeting, and it is terrible public policy, setting two precedents that could haunt the state for decades. And then he goes on to really lay out the numbers about, you know, the budget is very tenuous at this point.
But I have to say that by the end of it, he's saying teachers shouldn't get much more money and they shouldn't strike because people, government workers shouldn't strike. So he comes at it a very right-wing conservative stance. But I read his stuff regularly because even though I rarely agree with him, he's a good logical thinker. He's very good with numbers. And I don't know if people know that progressives like me read the conservative columns in the Star. I do, because I want to see what smart people who I disagree with are saying, because they might have an idea or two that I agree with, or I might see how it's logical and reasonable to think differently than I do. It stops me from being too dogmatic, to be honest.
Was there another plan, or there was another revenue source that the governor is floating concerning gaming, which really brings up some questions about whether this proposal would even be legal?
Yeah, it's a Keno game that's an electronic Keno game. I just read about it this morning. You've got to, you know, it's like like the baseball programs. You don't know your players without a program. You don't know what's going on without reading the news all the time. So the Keno program, I think he said it would raise $14 or $15 million, but it cuts into a promise that he made for Native American gaming and takes away some of their revenues that was promised. So it seems like Ducey will, and what's being said,
shuffling.
He will rob Peter to pay Paul all over the place.
Well, this is not going to make a lot of the Indian tribes, the gaming people, happy.
Of course not. And they shouldn't be. They should, just like everybody else, they should be saying, no, you can't do that. And teachers are also saying, I don't want to do this on the backs of others. There was a marvelous illustration on Facebook this morning of a picture with a disabled child and an older woman, or a woman who was of teaching age. And he was holding a sign up that said, robbing Peter. And she was holding up a sign saying to pay Paul. And they said, no, this can't happen. It was very, very, very a visual, dramatic illustration of what we're talking about. You don't do that. You have to have more revenue sources. And this is something that Ducey doesn't want to admit.
All right, we shall see what happens. David Safir, what do you have coming up on your column in the range?
Oh, geez, I can't even tell you because I got three or four ideas. At this point, I could write three columns a day and not keep up. There are so many things happening on the national and the local level that it's too much. But just follow it. I have something up from yesterday about the fact that teachers have a very, very good polling rating on the national level despite 20, 30, 40 years of teacher bashing from Republicans. And it shows that people actually, honestly, really believe that teachers are as valuable and important as they are.
That is very good
respect.
News. All right, David, thank you very much. I hope the rest of your week goes very well, the weekend coming up.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Mike Shaw, the program Mike Shaw's Mic Check comes up at 4 today. That program has expanded. We're now doing 2 hours, 4 to 6. So that gives us 6 hours daily of local talk, trying to give as much of the local perspective as possible here on KVOI. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow, 6 to 9, then our Friday Focus interview tomorrow. Yes, we're going to continue on this very important topic about the teachers with Calvin Baker, will be our guest, superintendent of the Vail School District. On behalf of Ray Allen, David Safir, and me, Bill Buckmaster, have a great afternoon.